Shabbat Vayikra. We begin this morning a new book, a new section in the Torah. And the portions there this morning were from Vayikra 1:1-9, Leviticus 1:1-9, Haftarah with Yeshayahu the prophet, Isaiah 44:1-8, and from the Messianic writings we had the book of Yaakov, and that was chapter 4, verses 7-10. It's an amazing book, Vayikra. You know it all inside out. I know you've read the portion in the week, and for those of you going round and round this circle of the Torah readings for a number of years, you'll be a great friend by now of Vayikra, know all the ins and outs. And it's one of those books, isn't it, where you know you start to read it, you get five chapters in, and you go, not another sacrifice, right? Oh, another bit about what the priest is wearing. Oh, another bit about this bit of the Mishkan. Oh, look at that. There's gold on that. Oh, this is bronze. It's one of these books, isn't it, where if you talk to people about when they read the scriptures, Vayikra is the one they tend to stop reading scriptures in, because it just doesn't seem to end, does it? And yet, right at the very beginning, we have an absolutely amazing thing happen. Did you spot it this week? Right at the very beginning of Vayikra. Vayikra, and he called. And when I say and he called, you're sitting there thinking, okay, so Moshe's sitting there, he's calling on the Lord and so on. And you know what? 180% wrong. 180 degree wrong. Moshe's not calling on the Lord. Who is the he in and he called? The Lord. The amazing thing that we see at the very beginning of Vayikra is that God calls to Moshe. You know what? This only ever happens three times. Only three times does this happen, that God calls to Moshe. Every other time, it's someone else reaching out and calling upon the name of the Lord. We're used to seeing it that way, aren't we? All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone's reminded and told to call upon his name three times. God turns that on its head. And God calls to Moshe. This is not just a little bit of a tap on the shoulder here. This is God speaking. He's getting hold of Moshe, going, Moshe, hello. Imagine this evening, you're sitting down there. And Yeshua walks in the door and sits down at the table with you. That's the equivalent of what is going on here right now. God pays Moshe a visit. He comes down and says, you know, we need to talk. I'm going to speak something really important to you. The calling that happened to him three other times. One, the burning bush. Two, on Mount Sinai with the giving of the Torah. And this is the third and final time that God calls to Moshe. He says to him, I'm calling you. We've got to talk. Are you listening to me? Because it's really important. At this particular point, Moshe needs to hear every single word that God is saying. So important is it. And what is it that's so important at this point? The first time we know was the sending down to Egypt. You will be my tool. You will be the one that I will take down there to redeem my people out of Egypt. Sinai with the commandments, obviously so important. So what is so important at this moment in time that God has to call to Moshe to get him to sit up, prick up his ears and think, yes, Lord, I am listening. What does it begin to get into in Vayikra? Before we attempt to say, oh yeah, throw out the boring bits. These are not the boring bits. These are absolutely fundamental, critical to Jewish thinking, to what Judaism is. The very core, the very heart of the Bible is what? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. And the problem is, of course, as we know with our people and the rabbis that we've been taught down the ages, we've deviated from this. The most important thing becomes the Torah, or it becomes tradition, or it becomes the rabbis themselves, or it becomes anything else except the one thing the Word of God says is important. It is sacrifice. And these are not boring bits. These are mission critical bits. If it was not the sacrifice, then we would not even be able to come anywhere near who the Lord is. We would not be able to get to that place. It's important that Moshe understands what atonement and sacrifice, the whole sacrificial system, is all about. He's got to take note of this. He's got to get it right. Because you know what? If you get this one wrong, if the sacrifice begins to fall apart and it doesn't work, then you are standing before God without the way of having your sins forgiven. And you know, the Torah forbids bringing, you know, blind animals. Animals with blemishes. You know, taking a bit of your crops from the corners down by the river, the bit that always gets a bit rotten anyway, and you know what, you can't really use it. I'll take that. You've got to get this right. If we get sacrifice wrong, if we misunderstand what sacrifice is and its crucial nature and position within the scriptures, not only are we not going to understand what Judaism is all about, we will fundamentally understand what the whole mission of history has been about. Because history is sacrifice. What do we read in the book of Revelation? Yeshua was sacrificed before the beginning of time, before it all began. The Lamb was sacrificed. The whole thing begins with sacrifice. If the whole of creation begins with sacrifice, you know this is important. It is absolutely vital that we get it. And Moshe is saying, okay, I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening. I'm trying to get this. I'm trying to get this right. And he really needs to get it right. The whole of the Mishkan that was being built there, with the altars and everything, the gold, the bronze, the lavers, the, you know, all of these things that was functioning in there. These are beautiful things to look at. If you've been to the Mishkan in the desert there in Israel, you'll know when you stand there. It's, you know, it's an amazing thing of itself. But you're not meant to look at that. Yeah, it's beautiful. You're not meant to look at it. In that way, the high priest comes out, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, with all of his, you know, with the ephod and the gowns and the colours and everything else, and you can sit there and you can ooh and ah, and isn't that wonderful, and can I touch this, and you can get like that if you want, and utterly miss the point. The priest is there because he's offering sacrifice. It's his job. It's what he's called to do. And at the heart of all of this, the heart of our mission, our calling, our task as Jews is atonement and sacrifice. It's who and what we are. God makes a way. He makes it possible. And I want to put this thought out there to you. In the heavens, when we turned against the Lord, right way back at the beginning, when Adam and Hava were reaching with their fruit bowl and thinking what a wonderful life it was. And I can assure you that day, the Lord sobbed in his heart because of the distance that had come between us and him. I think our Lord felt lonely. Because he loved us. He created us. He loves us and wants us to be with him. And when we deny that, when we pull away from him, and we cut our own groove, and we do our own thing, and dance our own dance, and we think somehow it's going to be all right, our God is in heaven and he is crying because he's lonely, because he wanted to be with you and wants to be with you. And all of that Mishkan, all of the sacrifices, all of it was designed for that one thing. It was not a kind of, you know, Blue Peter, this is what I did earlier with the sticky back plastic and, you know, isn't this wonderful and I can do this. Missing the point. These things exist so that sacrifice could happen, and secondly, equally as important, so that his presence could be in the midst of us. He missed us. Imagine it, he missed us. Like a parent whose child has moved abroad. That ache that's in your heart because you love your son or your daughter and you love them to be there and they've gone, and you know, that missing, that pain which we feel at those times when we're missing, this is the pain the Lord feels when we are separated from him. Sacrifice and his presence, the critical bits of all this. He wanted to be with us, but he couldn't come down in the middle of our sin, in a corrupt and unclean body and humanity. He couldn't, as the Holy God, come and descend and be in the middle of all of this until he somehow dealt with this issue of the sin and the uncleanness that was getting in the way. Sacrifice is the key. despite what our rabbis and our colleagues in other forms of Judaism will tell us, that, you know, there are other things which are important and so on and so forth, we absolutely, as Messianic Jews, stand on this one point. Sacrifice is the key that unlocks Jewish thinking. It is the key. Put any other key in that lock, and what will come out is a door half open or half closed or jammed and not able to open properly. You might just see through the bit of the door that there's something, the glory beyond, but you can't quite reach it because you can't open it properly with any other key. It is sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice that does this. And we know, as our people complain and say, this is dreadful, we're talking about Yeshua, that somehow he was the sacrifice and so on, and then people get very hot under the collar about all of this. We absolutely exalt Yeshua's sacrifice. All of those sacrifices that have come before, each and every one point exactly to Yeshua. All of them take us to the foot of the one who actually gave his life. Sacrifice is so important that it comes down, right down into the death of that son. Because sacrifice is the only way that we were going to go forward. That's how important sacrifice is. Remove sacrifice and there is no chance for any of us here today. Sacrifice is important. It unlocks so much. Without the sacrifice, or without sacrifice, what? What is there without sacrifice? I'm going to give you a clue this morning. No sacrifice, no something else. To unpack this, we need to know a bit of Hebrew. I'm going to teach you a Hebrew word. It's a word that some of you will know already. The Hebrew word is karav. And it's a word which is used consistently in this passage that runs all the way through. It's translated as offering. Bringing your offerings. Comes out in the Hebrew word korban, which of course you know as well. We see that in the Messianic writings. But all of this karav is at the root. And you know what the root of offering is? What the root of sacrifice is? If you translate offering as sacrifice, which is karav as well. What does karav mean at its root? What is sacrifice taking us to? And the key here is quite simple. Karav means to draw near or to draw close. That's what sacrifice does. If we are bringing karav, our korban, if we're bringing our offerings to the Lord, something is happening as a transaction at this point with sacrifice, which enables a drawing close. Drawing near. This is what sacrifice is all about. This is not some bloodthirsty people who love just bringing in the animals and slaughtering them on the altar with the blood splattering everywhere. And it must have looked, to modern sensitivities, that must have looked like quite a horrendous place of activity with all this, the dying of the animals and everything else. And yet through all of this, what we understand is that this is going on. The purpose of it is not just that the animals die, the purpose is that we can draw close. Because if we have to draw close, then that tells us something about distance, doesn't it? But there's something even more interesting, I think, in all of this. It's an exciting concept. Because it's not only the sacrifice that brings you nearer to the Lord, as important as that is as a concept, it is important, but notice this. The sacrifice is what you bring. Each and every one of us is what we bring. What we bring of ourselves. What we bring personally. What we bring of ourselves, which is of our nature, of who we are and what we have and everything else. It brings us back to that point that it's been banned to bring sort of blind animals and so on, because what you bring is important. Sacrifice, you could say sacrifice is just what you put on the altar. That's not the point. The sacrifice has to be perfect. The sacrifice has to be good. The sacrifice has to be what the Lord wants. But ultimately, you bring it. We bring it. Each and every one of us. What we discover is that act of what we bring to the Lord is the process by which we draw close to God. You know, there's a trend in modern days. And you've seen it in a number of congregations and around the world. It's a growing trend of this, what I would describe properly as this chumminess with the Lord. He's my mate. almost as if when you come into the sanctuary, it's like equals meeting up for a meeting, you know? As if somehow maybe the Lord should be really pleased that we're here. Lord, you should be thankful today that I've turned up. I've bothered today. You should be thankful. No. No. Sacrifice teaches us something fundamental about drawing close. Sacrifice is something that we are meant to offer to Him, because we are the party that has to always, as it were, draw close to Him. God is close to each and every one of us. He is close to every single human being on here, on earth here. But if you want to see it this way, God is available to all, but He is not easy. He's not your mate. He's not your friend in that way. We think of free access. And even today with believers, we tend to think, it's okay, Rabbi. No, Yeshua did it all. I can just rock up and do this or not. Maybe I'll stay in bed and maybe I won't go to the service. Maybe I won't bother going to the prayer meeting. Tithing, that's for other people. I really can't afford it. I haven't got this. Oh, food for Ornate Plus. Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. Maybe I won't even go to that either. Free access. Do what you want. Laissez-faire, Yeshua's covered it all. I have been told this by people. I can do what I want. Sin doesn't matter anymore because Yeshua's covered it. The sacrifice is in place and therefore it's all yippee-yay. That is not scripture. That is not Bible. That is not Torah. That is not what the scriptures are saying. Yeshua's sacrifice covers all our sins. But we cannot just blunder into the presence of God. What we bring is critical. Because we know in the Messianic writings, it talks about the sacrifice of praise, worship, thanksgiving, praise, singing, exalting the Lord, of prayer times and so on. Even reading the scriptures at home, you make the time to do it. You are sacrificing yourself to do this. These are our sacrifices of our lips and of our hearts, as the scriptures would say, that we continually bring in Messiah. Yes, His sacrifice covers our sin, but we still sacrifice. And we are commanded to sacrifice, whether it's in praise or worship or anything else, bringing our tithes, our offerings, offering what we have to get things done, to make things work, to be there for other people. These are all sacrifices that we bring. You can't just sit back and think, Yeshua's done it all, I don't need to do anything. If we all did that, nothing would happen. The kingdom of God wouldn't grow. We are the servants of Adonai, and we bring our sacrifice to Him. But it's not a cheap and easy access that you just somehow roll in. There's preparation time. You need to get prepared before you come on a Shabbat. You should already be praying. You should already be seeking God out when you walk through this door. You are ready. You're already here, ready to bring that sacrifice at that point. It doesn't happen just like that. You know it doesn't. It's why on a Friday afternoon, if we had a mikvah in here, if we had one on a Friday afternoon, you'd come in if you wanted to, and you'd get yourself immersed before Shabbat begins. You'd get yourself in tune. You'd spend that time with the Lord. Have that washing down, that ritual washing. Begin to get focused and to get clear about what Shabbat is. It's that stages of drawing close. It's what you bring. And sometimes people will say to me, Rabbi, you know, the service today, I don't know, I just didn't really connect and I'm going to go home. And I don't know, I just really wasn't there. And I think, no, you weren't there. God was there, but you weren't there. Because God is here. And it's a battle sometimes, I know it is. I'm not saying it's easy. But God is here. And if you go home today and you've not connected with the Lord and you've not been fed and you've not experienced that connection spiritually in worship and praise, where you've known that you've been in His presence, then you have to start thinking, Lord, change me, bring me to that place. It is what we bring. He is here. He is available in that way. But we dare not devalue that presence. We dare not devalue that presence. If we want to draw close to God, an animal has to die. One thing we know is this. In Judaism, animals are rated highly. You do not play with animals. They have rights, you look after them, you tend to them, you care for them. It's our godly role for them. When an animal dies, it is serious. It's why we don't waste food, especially not wasting meat. It's a serious business with an animal when we eat it in that way. And we need to basically remind ourselves here a little bit. We come along, we worship and praise. How much, honestly, about mourning do we sit there and remind ourselves of the agony Yeshua went through, of the separation between him and his Father. Because of that, we can sit here and worship and praise today with eternal life, which is ours. There is a price, there is a cost, and we devalue God when we blunder into his presence in this way without understanding the concept of sacrifice, which has made a way. We have to bring a sacrifice worthy of his name. Praise God. At the end of it all, a sacrifice was brought and has a name, Yeshua, that is worthy of that sacrifice, that we can come into his presence. But we need sacrifices. Sacrifice determines how we get into that place, into that zone of what we're able to bring to him. If you don't offer, if you don't bring a sacrifice, don't be surprised if you don't have the closeness, if you don't have that intimacy. And I believe the Lord is calling us. I've been feeling it all the way through this service this morning. Really sensing the Spirit of God stirring. We need to get intimate with God. We need to get intimate with God. We need that closeness, people. We do. I'm not talking about casual prayers in the morning that you do every morning. I really want to stir you up this morning to seek God. Get hungry for God again. That passion for the Lord. Get it back again to seek his face, to get into those prayer times and reading the scriptures and the word of God. Bring those sacrifices. What you bring is what you will get from the whole situation. You bring low value, you will have low value relationship with the Lord. You will have a minimal intimacy. And you know what? On one level you can think, that'll do me, that's fine. You go ahead, you walk through your life through that. But then don't look at other people who are burning with a passion for the Lord because they are bringing a sacrifice which is greater. What you bring is what you get when you come before the Lord. That's a fact. And yet the world screams at us, you need to accept me as I am. You've got to take me as I am. This is who I am. Be pleased I turned up at all. That's not attitudes of the kingdom of God. Those are not attitudes that are going to get you access to intimacy with the Lord. God doesn't accept you as you are on one level. I know he loves you unconditionally as you are, but listen carefully. He doesn't accept you as you are. We know that is true because he sent Yeshua to die for you. If God had just accepted you as you are, he would have left you as a sinner on your way to hell. But he didn't. He loved you, but he wanted to see you saved. He wanted to see you changed. He wanted that sacrifice to be applied to you, to see that change in you. And Yeshua is the way. He is our sacrifice. But there's one bit I want to just tag onto that for you to think about, because it's not quite as easy as just Yeshua is it and he's the sacrifice and so on. What do we read from the scriptures? Yeshua is the door. Yeshua is the door. Now a door is useless unless you do what? Go through it. Yeshua is the doorway. His sacrifice is the doorway through which you go to get intimacy with the Lord. And there's no point just standing there in the doorway and saying, hi God, it's great, yeah, sacrifice is here, it's cool. Yeah, okay, I know you're there, but I'm alright, I've got the sacrifice here. And the Lord's saying, yeah, come to me then. You've entered the room, now come to me. Now how many people just enter the room and just stay by the doorway? That's great on one level, you know, we're standing on the sacrifice, that's fantastic. But if that's where you stop, that's not enough. God wants us to be intimate with him. and to experience that intimacy in a way which you've never understood it before. He wants us close to him. And I honestly believe, you know, I've said this often, in the days in which we are now living, if we are not intimate with God, we will fall. We will need that intimacy with God. Because what is coming is not fun. It's going to be a challenge. And it's coming. It's coming. It's stacking up. You can feel it. Stacking up against believers. It's stacking up against Israel. What is on its way down the tube is not going to be funny. We need intimacy with God. Intimacy, we wake up and the first thing we do is we give him a hug and we say, Lord, I'm so pleased. I am awake today, another day to love you and to serve you and to walk with you. And right now, I am yours. I'm your servant. Let's go. Lord, take me through. Straight away, you're offering that sacrifice of praise and of love and of thanksgiving for another day that God has given you to live. Because I'm standing here today, right now, because of him keeping me alive. That's a fact. Each and every one of you, you are here right now alive because he's keeping you alive. His breath in you. Yeshua in you. He's keeping you alive right now. And we need to praise him. Yeshua is that door that we walk through, but how you get closer to the Lord when you walk through that doorway is your response, which is critical at that moment. Will you be happy with the distance, or do you deep down in your heart, do you long for God to be with him, to be close to him, to walk that way with him? Because if that's what's on your heart this morning, sacrifice is the way. That's what the scriptures say. Sacrifice is the way. What you bring determines how close you get. He made it possible for Yeshua. But clearly ask yourself, if our Lord is number one for you in your life, what would you not bring? What would you not bring? I read a really inspiring story called a short commentary this week called Breaking Your Alabaster Jar. I won't go into details, but it was a beautiful, beautiful little bit of commentary. And it brought out something about Wesley. I won't go into the long story with it, but you know, in the sense of this is a man who chose to consciously lay up treasure in heaven and not on earth. Because he knew. He knew the secret of intimacy with God. You can build your homes and houses and cars and jobs and fill your bank accounts and your silos full of grain and everything else. And we can all do that. But if God is our number one, what would you not bring? Seriously, I'm going to say that question once more. What would you not bring? How much is that intimacy worth to you? How much is it worth? I'm asking myself here this morning as well, how much is that worth? Do you really want God that much? Do you really want Yeshua that much? You'd give everything up. I mean, you know, I always say that with our heads. But say it from here. What would you not give up for the Lord? There are people here who have given up countries to come and worship here because the call of God was on their life. Moved continents. Given up jobs. People have sacrificed a lot. I know, because I know you all. I know your stories. What would you not give up? We think we have all these things which God has given us, the blessings, the finances, the homes and whatever. I really think we've got to bring this into focus. Sacrifice tells us intimacy with God costs what we have and who we are. And if you have a passion for that intimacy with God, that cost, there will be a cost to pay for that. But what would you not bring? His closeness surely worth more fine gold than we could ever stack on a table. And think of it this way. When you hold back on God, you rob yourself of his presence. You do. And maybe this morning you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I remember. I remember being that close with the Lord. It was a way back. It was months ago. It was a year ago, 2 years ago. And you're remembering now. You used to walk in that way. You used to walk in that intimacy. You are robbed of God. And it comes down to sacrifice. It comes down to what you hold back. It's at that point we think, I can go so far and no further. And the Lord says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Because his love for us did what? What did we see from God's love for us? He surrendered his son for us. With the agony in eternity that was for our God, he surrendered Yeshua to us and he took that pain because there was nothing he was not going to hold back for us. He would give everything to be with us because the Lord wanted that closeness with us. He missed us and loved us so much. He wanted that closeness and there was nothing that he would hold back. Were you like that? Did we rob ourselves? It's everything that we have. It's the time spent in prayer and worship. Yes, finances. Things that we hold back. The things we convince ourselves that we cannot do, mustn't do. Oh, I've got this, I can't tithe. There's this I've got to give to, that I've got to give to. Oh, you know what? It all sounds so rational in our head. We hold back on God and we rob ourselves. The relationship that you want and seek is there, but you know, the intimacy is a response to what you bring. Priorities, choices. You know, I'm a great believer in free will, great believer in human choice and the ability to make those choices, and God does not overrule us in any way. He allows us to choose. And the shocking reality in all of this, as you think of sacrifice in this way, the reality in this is that we choose to bring what we bring. We choose to bring what we bring in this way. And even if we bring what is stipulated in the Torah, a turtle dove and this, that and the other, we can bring that. And you know what? You can take your turtle dove and the priest can slash it and you can go up and put it on the altar and then you can walk away. Do you seriously think that the Lord's going to accept that? Just because you've ticked the box. And you say, I've done it, Lord. Oh, okay, now I've given you the turtle dove. So now, blessing please. That isn't how the Lord works. When you put that animal on the altar, that is in your place. In this system we're talking here about the altar, that's in your place. It was meant to teach us that there's a cost, there's a price to intimacy, about sacrifice, and ultimately it's with Yeshua. And when we look, we're coming up to Pesach and we're going to reenact, as it were, again, the death and resurrection of Yeshua in a couple of weeks' time. This is the moment in time when we look upon Yeshua and we don't just say, thank you, Lord, that you gave your life for me. This is the moment we say, that should be me. That should be me. Because that's what I deserve. And the response of thankfulness, of praise. You want that closeness? Let the Lord put his finger in your life. Let him put his finger on these things. Because what you bring is what you will get. Closeness is available, but you have to take it. Intimacy is there, but you have to take it. You have to want it. You've got to work towards it. You bring that sacrifice of your life, of who you are, a living sacrifice before the Lord. And if you choose not to sacrifice yourself in this way and not to walk with the Lord in this way, then yes, your eternal destiny is secure. I'm not saying it's not. But intimacy, it's what we want, isn't it? We want that relationship Adam and Chava had back in the garden. Wouldn't it be lovely? You know, then you're trimming your roses in the evening of your garden and Yeshua comes up and walks up to you and says, I love your roses, Binnis. Wouldn't you love that? That intimacy? Yeah? Victor, you're cooking in the kitchen one evening. You know, you're preparing your Ukrainian, Moldovan, whatever it is that you're preparing there. You're cooking away. And Yeshua comes and stands next to you and looks over your shoulder and he goes, that's great, Victor. Can I have some? Do you want that kind of intimacy? Because that's what he wants with us. We can have it. The writer of the Hebrews says in chapter 7, We draw near to God through Yeshua. Through Yeshua. That intimacy. Intimacy hinges on what we bring. We draw near. We draw near to God. Of course we do. And Yeshua is the door. He is the access point. There is only one way to the Father, and that's through Yeshua. But when you're through there, it's the intimacy that we want, the intimacy we seek, and that is what you bring. I want to just leave you finally with that thought. Challenge you on this one. Think about what you are bringing to the Lord. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to sacrifice? What is too much for you? And then think whether you sacrifice.